Exodus 12 this morning, again, familiar text, but I've been really burdened this week about preaching a message, salvation. I don't want to assume this morning that anybody here is saved. I can't assume that. I know I'm saved, but I don't know your heart. And I want everyone that is here this morning to search your own heart and ask yourself, do I know the Lord as my personal Savior? And if you don't know him this morning, I pray that you would know him before you leave this service. The greatest decision a man or a woman, a boy or girl can ever make is the decision to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. In Exodus 12, we find a familiar text, and I'm just going to read several verses, a couple of verses here, and then we'll give you the thought that's on our heart. If you don't mind, or if you're able and willing, would you please stand out of respect to the Word of God? The Bible says in verse 11, and thus shall ye eat it without your loins, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I might smite the land of Egypt. Father, I thank you for this evening, this morning, this opportunity to preach. I thank you, Lord, for seeing fit to allow a sinner like me to stand behind this sacred desk and open this sacred book and preach the glorious news that Jesus saves and he changes lives. And I pray you enable me now, Lord. Lord, you know my heart. Lord, you know my motives. You know my desires and everything about me. Lord, I just pray now, God, that you would speak, Lord, through me in a way, Lord, that only you can. I pray, Lord, the words that come from my mouth, Lord, that the Holy Ghost would take those words and put them into the hearts of those that are here. And Father, beyond anything I could ask, I ask, Lord, that if there's one here that's not saved, Father, if it be a young man, young woman, boy, girl, lady, gentleman, whatever, whoever it may be, I pray, Lord, this morning, Father, that you would make the scenes of Calvary to pass before their eyes. Lord, may they see Jesus high and lifted up and dying for their sins. And this morning, may it be the day that they come, Lord, and bow their knee before him and trust him as their Savior. Father, I don't know how many more opportunities I have. Lord, and the people that are here this morning, they don't know how many more opportunities they have. But I pray for this moment and this time, Lord, here where we are, that you'd help us all to do exactly what you'd have us to do. Lord, we love you and we thank you again, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You be seated. The Bible says that God said in verse 13, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. He didn't say when I see your bank account or when I see your church membership or when I see your clothes that you're wearing or the car that you're driving or when I see how good of a person you are or whether you're, whether you're moral or not. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I want you to know this morning that God is looking for one thing. He's looking for the blood. And there's nothing any of us, did you know today that there's only one currency that's accepted in heaven, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot work to pay for one sin you've ever committed. You could live an entire life of good deeds to others and not atone for one sin. And the Bible says God told them. Now, just a little bit of background here. Egypt was a place where the Hebrew children had been for over 400 years. And if you know your Bible, you know that Jacob went down there to Egypt. Him and his 12 sons, they went. And there was, I believe 70 of them went down to Egypt. And because of the famine that was in the promised land, they went there. And while they were there, they prospered and they flourished and become a great people. And because of that, the Egyptians were leery of them and scared of them and feared them. They feared that they might rise up and rebel and take their country, take their belongings from them. And I'm not going to go through all the plagues and the judgments and everything that happened, but God raised a man up named Moses. He called him, Exodus chapter 3, and told him, he said, I want you to go stand before Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. We know what happened. Moses did as the Lord, after a little bit of persuading by the Lord and encouragement from the Lord, he went. Him and Aaron, they stood before Pharaoh, told Pharaoh what God had said. And Pharaoh, of course, would not comply, would not listen, would not obey. And the Bible says he hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. I want you to know this morning that every time you respond to the word of God, it has an effect on your heart. If you obey the word of God, it'll soften your heart. If you rebel against the word of God, it'll harden your heart. And it went on, and of course, you know the story. God began to send plagues upon Egypt, and one after another, frogs. You know they worship frogs. Every judgment on Egypt was a judgment against their gods. They worshiped the frogs, and so you know what? God gave them a bunch of frogs. He gave them so many frogs, they got sick of frogs. I mean, there were frogs in the kitchen, frogs in the bathroom, frogs in the living room. Everywhere they stepped was croak, croak, ribbit, ribbit. Amen? But still, Pharaoh would not repent. The water become blood. They worshiped the Nile River, and so God judged the Nile River. I could go on and on, but I'm not for sake of time. But in chapter number 12, God is forecasting, if you would, the final and the most dreadful of all his judgments on Egypt. He said, up until this, it had been bad, but this is the worst of all the judgments on Egypt. And God said, I'm going to send an angel. The death angel is going to come by. And he said, Moses, you need to tell my people that if they want to be spared, he said, when he comes through Egypt, he said, the firstborn male of every house will die if there's no blood upon the door. And he gives Moses instructions and tells him. Now, in the Word of God, in the Old Testament, there's many symbols and types and pictures and metaphors. And here, perhaps the most common and the most clear of all the symbols of the Old Testament is that of the lamb. The first mention of lamb, Genesis 22, where Abraham and Isaac were going up Mount Moriah, and Isaac looked around, he said, Father, we've got the wood, we've got the fire. He said, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham told Isaac, he says, son, he says, God shall provide himself a lamb. You can go through the Bible. You can read about the sacrifices in the temple and the offerings. And even John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. The Lamb is a clear metaphor or type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of all of the mentions of a lamb in the Old Testament, perhaps Exodus 12 is the most clear picture of the lamb being a type of Jesus Christ. Now, there's several ways, and I've got to touch on this before we get to the message, so hang tight. The first thing that makes this, and when you read your Bible, you got to look for clues. And there's several clues here that show us that this lamb that Moses is telling them about, he's this lamb that he told them to go find, this lamb they told him to bring home, this lamb that he told him to sacrifice is a picture of Christ. Number one, the Bible says in verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. You say, Brother Martin, what does that have to do with Jesus? Let me tell you, amen, I'm glad you asked. The first thing about this lamb is it was a selected lamb. You say, Brother Martin, what do you mean selected? I want you to know it was chosen by God. God told Aaron and Moses. Moses and Aaron didn't get together with the deacons of Israel and say, all right, what are we going to do? And they had a deacons meeting and said, all right, we're going to get it. This is not Moses' idea. This is not Aaron's idea. This is not Pharaoh's idea for sure. This comes straight from God. This was God's chosen me. This was God's chosen way. This was God's chosen lamb. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. 1 Peter 1:20 says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. You say, Brother Martin, how come I have to trust Jesus as my Savior? How come I have to choose Him? I want you to know the reason you have to choose Jesus is because God chose Jesus. Amen. Jesus is not the Baptist way. He's not the Methodist way. He ain't the Church of God or the Catholic way. He is God's way of salvation. Amen. God chose him before the foundation of the world. God said Abraham and Aaron, Moses and Aaron. He said, go find the lamb. This was God's plan. Salvation begins with God and salvation ends with God. Amen. Listen to me. Jesus was the chosen Lamb of God. You don't know why the world hates him? Because he's God's choice. You don't know why the devil hates him? Because he's God's choice. You know why the devil hates Christians? Because Jesus inside of them, and that's God's choice. God selected. This is a selected lamb. This was God's plan of salvation. People always talk about the Baptist way. I want to tell you, there's just one way. It's God's way. And there, and you take out the lamb, then God ain't in it. A selected lamb, verse 5, he says, your lamb shall be without blemish. It was a spotless lamb. He said, it shall be without blemish. And you understand in Bible times, they even in the sacrifices in the temple, in the tabernacle, they had a procedure where they would inspect these lambs. God said, I don't want one mark on it. I don't want one blemish on it. Their eyes had to be equal. They couldn't be offset. They couldn't have marks or scars. They couldn't be spotted up. They had to be pure. They had to be without blemish, no cuts and no demarcations, no deformities. Their legs had to be the same length. Their hooves had to be matching on each foot. There was a detailed search that would go over each one of these lambs. And Abraham, Moses, I keep talking about Abraham. He's in there, though, but we're just a little further down the road. He's dead right now. But Moses, God said, I want you to find not just any lamb. He said, but I want you to find a spotless lamb, one without blemish. Now, I want you to know this morning, everyone in here is blemished. Amen. And by the way, we were blemished at birth. You see them, the little babies, oh, they're just perfect. They ain't perfect. They ain't perfect. Give them a little time. You'll figure it out. Amen. God, Moses said, I want you to find one without blemish. Jesus is the spotless Lamb of God. Amen. 1 Peter 1:9, that he says it's a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hebrews 9:14, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Hebrews 7:26, for such a high priest became us, who's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. I want to submit to you this morning that Jesus is the spotless Lamb of God. Listen, when he was on earth, they tried to find fault in him and they could not find fault in him. I mean, they investigated him. They followed him. They tried to trick and deceive him. I mean, everywhere he turned, there was people watching and people listening. And even at his judgment there, at Gabbatha, there at Pilate's hall, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. And I want you to know this morning, I find no fault in him either. Amen. He is the spotless Lamb of God. Amen. Verse 6, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it. Kill it. Not only is he a selected lamb, a spotless lamb, but we see he is a sacrificed lamb. He didn't say bring the lamb home and tie it out in the front yard. And when the death angel passes by and he sees that spotless lamb, when he sees that selected lamb, he'll pass over you. He said, no, you've got to take that lamb and you've got to kill that lamb. And he said, when you kill that lamb, I want you to take the blood and put it on the doorpost and upon the lintel. There is a picture here of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say I thank God for his supernatural birth, don't you? Jesus was born of a virgin. I mean, he was virgin born. A miracle of God happened when Jesus was born. Mary was a virgin, and the Holy Ghost overshadowed her, and she conceived Jesus Christ in her womb. But I'm telling you, the virgin birth is not enough to save you or to save me. I thank God for his supernatural birth. I thank God for his sinless life. Amen. Jesus was without sin, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. I thank God for his sinless life. There was no guile in him. There was no sin in him. He was perfect. Everything he did was perfect. He never said an idle word. He never had an evil thought. He never committed a malicious or vile deed. He was sinless from the moment of his birth to the moment of his death. But just the fact that he was sinless was not to save you and I. Jesus had to die. Jesus had to die. In fact, he was born so that he could die. The only reason he took upon himself the form of a servant. The only reason he became a man was so he could die. You see, God cannot die. Amen. And God will not die. The only way he could die was to take upon himself a robe of flesh. I want you to know Jesus was sacrificed for you and for me. Moses said, kill it. Kill it. But then it says, I want you to see this in verse 4. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count of for the lamb. If your house, in verse 4, if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it. Now, I'm not changing the word of God. I'm just going to tell you what he's saying. He said, if you get a lamb and you've got more lamb than your house needs, he said, go get your neighbors and bring them over and let them have some of that lamb. And if you have more lamb than you and your neighbors need, then go ask your other neighbor. And what he was saying is, if you've got more lamb than what your house requires, then I want you to share what you have left over with all those around you. What he was saying is, if the lamb is more than enough for your family, if the lamb is more than what your family needs, if the lamb is more than what your family requires, if the lamb is more than your family can take and consume, he said, don't throw it away. Give it to others. Share it with others around you. And if the Lord will help me, I know it's a little different, but y'all hang tight. I want to preach on this morning, that Jesus is more than enough. I want you to know, Moses didn't say, if your house is too big for the lamb. And he didn't say, if the lamb is too little for your house. But he said, if your house is too little for the lamb. And what he was saying is, if the lamb's bigger than your house, if the lamb's bigger than your family, if the lamb's bigger, and I want you to know, he is bigger than all of us. Amen. Listen, the lamb, he's more than enough. Jesus is more than enough. There's never been one person that come to him and said, I need more lamb. You're not enough lamb for me. Amen. But millions have come and millions have gone, and they've all left saying the same thing. Jesus is more than enough. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you're going through a valley, a trying time in your life. I want to encourage you and say, Jesus is more than enough. Maybe you're here and you've got a child that's away from God. Jesus is more than enough. Maybe you're here and you're going through spiritual battle and the devil's waging war on your mind and on your heart. I want you to know, Jesus is more than enough. The Lamb is enough and more. Amen. Thank God he's more than enough. He's more than enough to live that he can give us more than we can ever eat, and more than we can ever take in, more than we can ever use. Thank God Jesus is more than enough. And I want you to look here quick. I'm going to show you three things about this. He's more than enough. Number one, he's more than enough to get us in the door. Verse 7, he said, they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein, you see that? Wherein they shall eat it. Verse 22, and ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel on the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. The only way they could make it and be saved was if they got in the door. And the only way they could get in the door is if the blood was on the post and on the lintel. That's the only way. And I want you to know this morning, Jesus is enough. No, not enough. Jesus is more than enough to get you in the door. I want you to know there's only one door. There is only one door of salvation. Jesus said, I am the door. And that door is a blood-stained door. Amen. The Bible says if a man tries to come in by another way, he is nothing but a thief and a robber. I want you to know some of you may be trying to get in another way. You're trying to get in your way, or you're trying to get in the church way, or you're trying to get in the religious way, or the Baptist way, or the Church of God way, or the Catholic way. Jesus is the only way. There's only one door. I want you to know, you say, Brother Martin, I'm so sin, I'm so evil. I've done this, I've cursed, I've blasphemed, I've drunk, I've stolen, I've committed adultery. I'm a whoremonger, I'm a liar. I've done all these things. I want you to know there's worse than you that got in. Amen. I want you to know we get to heaven. Some of you are going to be shot by who's there. You're going to be shot by who's there. The first one that went in the door after Calvary was a thief who was dying on a cross. Amen. It was almost the first convert of Calvary was a thief who was on a cross. It was almost like Jesus was wanting to get a point across and say, if I can save him, I can save anybody. Amen. And Paul said, it's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Amen. The Bible says, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. Isaiah said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, listen, I thank the Lord this morning that Jesus is enough. If you feel like you're so far away, you can't get in, I want you to know Jesus is more than enough. You can come in. You don't have to die out there in judgment. You don't have to die out there in the world. The door's open. The blood's been applied and you can get in. I want you to see this. How do you get in? Verse 3, I'm just going to read a couple of lines. You can follow if you want, but he said in verse 3, take to them every man a lamb. Verse 4, if the household be too little for thee lamb. Verse 5, your lamb should be without blemish. You know how you get in? You want to tell you how you get in? He has to go from being a lamb to the lamb to your lamb. Almost every person. Now, it's getting fewer now by the day, but I'd say the vast majority of Americans would agree that Jesus was a lamb. He was a good man. He was a teacher. He was a philanthropist. He was a moral man. He was a good man. And I mean, most people will agree that he was a lamb. But I want you to know this morning that you can believe that all day long and still bust hell wide open. You cannot simply say he is a God. He is not a God. He is the one and only wise God. Amen. He is the omnipotent God of heaven and earth. But listen, he says, first of all, there's a lamb. I can remember as a little boy. I was telling him in Sunday school, I remember the first time I ever got out of the crib. You may not believe it, but I remember. And I can remember being taught as a young boy about that lamb. And I knew he was a lamb. But you know, that's not enough. You have to realize not only is he a lamb, but he's the lamb. That's singular. Jesus is not a way to heaven. He's the way to heaven. Jesus is not a option. He's the only option. Jesus is not a provision for sin. He is the one and only provision of sin. But it's not enough for you to think he's a lamb. It's not, in fact, I believe probably everybody in here would agree that Jesus is the Lamb of God. That's what John the Baptist said. That's what the Bible said. I believe it. But there's a whole lot of people, Brother Justin, who are going to go to hell saying he's a lamb. He's the lamb because he never become their lamb. There's a difference in saying he's a lamb and a lamb and the lamb and saying he's your lamb. I'm glad there was a day in my life where he wasn't my mama's lamb. He wasn't my daddy's lamb. He wasn't my Sunday school teacher's lamb. He wasn't the preacher's lamb. But praise God, he become my lamb. Amen. He become my Savior. And Psalmist said, my beloved is mine and I'm his. Amen. Listen, can you remember a day in your life where Jesus, become your lamb, become your Savior, become your comforter, become your friend, become your guide, become your God, become your King, become your Lord. I can take you to the place right now. I can show you the spot where it happened, amen, where Jesus become my lamb. Amen. You children, you can't get in on mama and daddy's lamb. They didn't have one lamb for the whole neighborhood, so that's our lamb. He said, by the way, the fathers had to do this. And I want you to know, daddies, I want you to know it's our responsibility to get our kids to the Lamb. Amen. It said, verse 13, I got to hurry, the blood shall be to you a token. You know what that word token means? It means a beacon. It's like a flashing light, a signal. That's the approval of the Lamb or the appeasement of the Lamb. What he was saying is, when I see the blood, it's going to be like a beacon of light flashing. They're in, they're mine. Pass by. Oh, listen this morning. If you do not have the token of the blood upon your heart, if you do not have that beacon of shining from your life, of saying you've been saved, I encourage you. No, I don't encourage you. I beg you. I plead with you. I mean, listen, I ask you with all my heart, don't put it off any longer. You say, why is it so important? The death angels flying by. The Bible said it's appointed unto one man to die, and one man to unto man wants to die. And after this, the judgment, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. If Jesus don't come, we're all going to die. The death angel will come and we'll all die. But praise God, if you're saved, if you've got the blood on the outside, you don't have to fear him. You can say with the Apostle Paul, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is alive. Oh, but thanks be to God, which gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's more than enough to get us in the door. He's more than enough. The Bible said in verse 8, and they shall eat the flesh in that night. That night. Verse 29, and at midnight. Midnight. Now I coon hunt. I got one of my fellow coon hunters here. Brother Eddie, good to have you. Coon hunters, we're not the night don't bother us a lot. Unless we're in Palmersville or somewhere and we walk through one of them graveyards. Amen, Brother Eddie. And down there, I don't know, there's something about them graveyards down there different than one. I don't know. But for the most part, most people don't just go out in the dark and just carry on. You understand? There's something about the dark. There's something about the night. There's something about the shadows when they begin to fall across the sky. And when the sun goes and hides, there's something about it. And Moses said, it's going to happen at night. He said, it's going to be dark. He said, it's going to be at midnight when this death angel comes. But I want to give you encouragement. It's dark right now. With everybody, it's dark right now in this world. It's dark what's happening behind closed doors. We don't even understand how dark it really is. But Moses said, I want you to go in, shut the door, spread the apply the blood, shut shut the door, I eat the lamb, and hold on and wait until the sun comes up in the morning. Jesus enough to get us in the door. But I want to tell you this morning, Jesus is more than enough to get us through the dark. You ever feel like you're not going to make it? Do you ever feel like the sun will never rise again? You ever feel like that the shadows and the gloom of night will never leave the horizons of your life? Moses said, I want you to get, not only do you need to get in, but he said you need to hold on. Because that death angel's pat, by the way, just because they got in the door did not mean they didn't have to go through the dark. Just because you're saved don't mean you're not going to have to go through hard times. It don't mean your phone's not going to ring with bad news. It don't mean the doctors ain't going to give you a bad report. It doesn't mean you're not going to have your heart broken and shattered in pieces. Everyone that gets in still has to go through. But praise God, the Lamb, listen to me, the Lamb is not only enough to get us in, but he's enough to get us through. Now listen, I'm in a hurry. As much as I hate to. He said, go in there, cook it, eat it, and eat it all. Now get this. The lamb, when they got in the door, they were saved by the lamb. But they got through the dark because they were sustained by the lamb. He said, eat it all. Eat it all. Everyone that had the blood on the outside, follow me now, had the lamb on the inside. You know how we're going to get through the dark? Because of the lamb on the inside. They ate that little lamb. And the same lambs that blood was on the doorpost was on the inside. Now listen, just because of this, that God told them this, it didn't mean some of them weren't afraid. If it was me and my little boy was laying in there, I'd been nervous. I would have been afraid. By the way, at midnight, the Bible says from the dungeon to the palace, the death angel touched everyone. And if you're, it don't matter if you're rich or poor, known or unknown, if you're not saved, the death angel will find you. They began to cry out, Dylan. Everyone was crying out. Mamas ran in there and their little boys were dead. They said even the cattle, the firstborn cattle died. I mean, can you imagine the sound? The beasts are moaning and the moms are crying. And inside them little houses, them little Hebrews, there was a little boy and he could hear that going on. And he thought, oh no, is he going to come get me? Am I going to die? I can imagine him running in there to his daddy and saying, Daddy, I'm scared. I'm scared. Daddy, you said, Lord, Moses said that God said if we'd put the blood on there and if we'd eat that lamb, we'd make it. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm afraid. I can imagine that daddy sitting there, you know, with his toothpicks and son, listen to me. We got the blood on the outside and we got the lamb on the inside and we're going to make it. Amen. I imagine that little boy going back to bed, laying down in bed, amen, and rubbing his little belly and saying, oh, I forgot about that. I've got the lamb on the inside. He's here with me right now. And he had peace in that dark night because he had the blood on the outside. He had the lamb on the inside. And I want you to know what differentiates us from the world, what makes us different from everybody else. It's not our hairstyles. It's not our dress style. It's not our music style. It ain't none of that. It ain't our bank accounts. It ain't our portfolio. It ain't our retirement. It's not houses or lands or cars or boats or any of that. What makes us different from the world, if you're saved this morning, is the blood's on the outside and the lamb's on the inside. If you've got that, you got enough to get through the dark. Amen. I'm done right here. Verse 31. So, he's more than enough to get us in the door. He's more than enough to get us through the dark. Verse 31, and he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people. Jesus is more than enough to get us in the door. Amen. Jesus is he is the only way. Jesus is more than enough to get us through the dark. I know it's dark out there. I know Jesus is more than enough. But knowing that, he's more than enough to get us out of the danger. He said, Moses, Aaron, get ye forth. You know what he was telling them? Get out. Get out. Get out. Now, believe it or not, like it or not, whatever you think, it don't really matter. One of these days, all of God's people are getting out. Did you know, as long as they were in Egypt, they were in danger. But God set the time 400 plus years. You remember when Joseph died? He told his sons, he said, don't bury me in Egypt. He said, carry my bones. Hold on to my bones. He said, because one day God is going to visit us again. And God's going to take us out of this place. And God's going to take us back to where we belong, to our homeland. And Brother Mike, each generation went by and they held them bones in that box. And after one generation, that man, he was about to die. And he had that coffin of bones, that little box of bones. And he looked at his son and said, son, these are the bones of Joseph, your granddaddy. He told us to keep these bones. Don't bury them in Egypt, because one day God is going to visit us down here and take us out and take us home. And that boy carried him. And then he come to die. He looked at his son. He said, son, your great-grandfather Joseph said, one day God's going to visit Egypt. And these are his bones. And one day when God comes, he said, you take these bones and you bury them back where we're from. And that boy got ready to die. He called his son in. He said, son, these are here's the bones of your great-granddaddy. And this went on for 420 years. And the Bible says, I'm not going to read it, but the Bible says when they left Egypt, that the Bible says they had Joseph's bones. Amen. And they had Joseph's bones. You know what happened? And God kept his word. And God kept his promise. And God came through. Amen. And it's been over 2,000 years. But I promise you this morning, it doesn't change the fact that one day God's going to visit us down here. Amen. God's going to take us where we belong. And thank God it's all because of the Lamb. Moses told him, he said, I want you to have your loins girt, your shoes on your feet, staff in your hand. What he was telling them is they need to be ready for a journey. I want to ask you this morning, are you ready for a journey? Are you ready? Are you ready to leave? Are you ready to go? Are you prepared? Is your heart right with God? The Bible says he's coming in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Did you know they tell me, scientists say there is a wink, there is a blink, and then there is a twink of an eye. The twink is the fastest. Did you know how fast the twink is? It's 1/6 billionth of a second. That's how quick. Do you know it's that is so fast you can't even think about it. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it's just that fast, we're going to be gone. You better be ready. Moses said, have your loins girt, have your staff in your hand, have your shoes on your feet, and be ready to go. And they come, and God visited them, and they left. And when they left, listen to this, them Egyptian women, by the way, they were glad to see them go. The world's going to be glad when they see us go. They don't understand what's coming. The women went out, Brother Drew, and they took off their gold necklaces and threw them on those Egyptian women. They took off them fancy coats and threw them out in the road. They took off their bracelets, their rings, their diamonds, all that. And the Bible says they went out with a high hand. Amen. They went out with a high hand. Them people were slaves. They didn't have anything. They were poor. I mean, they were destitute. They were afflicted. They were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. But when they went out, guess what they were? They were rich as a king. You see, when they went out, they had more than they ever had while they was in Egypt. And I want you to know one day, people feel sorry for us Christians, but we're going to go out of here with a high hand. Amen. You say, how do you know? Because I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. You know what that means? Everything's his is mine. Amen. Joint heir. You say, how much is his? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Amen. Oh, listen, the Bible says we've got an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and kept for us. Amen. They went out with a high. Can you imagine them little Hebrew women? Saying, man, I've been looking at this. They picked up one of them robes and said, I've been wanting a robe like this my whole life. I never thought I could get a robe like this. And they put it on and they picked up one of them gold rings or one of them gold bracelets and slipped it on and said, I never thought I'd be able to have something like this. I want to tell you what's going to happen one day. Jesus is coming in the eastern sky as the lightning flashes from the east and the west. He's coming in the clouds. He's coming with a shout. He's coming with a trump. The voice of the archangel is going to sound and we're going to go up out of here. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to walk down streets of gold and we're going to say, man, I never thought I'd have anything like this. Amen. We're going to be given the keys to our own mansion. And we're going to walk in and say, my, I never thought I'd live somewhere like here. I never thought I'd have a house like this. I never thought I'd live in a place like this. But it's all because of the Lamb. Yeah. Moses let them out. Let them through the Red Sea. And when the waters subsided, in the Red Sea, they stood on the banks of the Red Sea on the other side and they sang a song. One of these days, we're going to stand on the other side and we're going to sing another song. And you know what it's going to be about? It's going to be about that Lamb. Jesus is more than enough this morning. He's more than enough. He's more enough to get you in the door. You see, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for them to get close to the door. They had to go in the door. There's a lot of people this close to getting saved. There's somebody here probably this morning. You're that close. You think about it. You've thought about it. You worry about it. You believe Jesus is the Lamb. You do, but he's not your Lamb. And you're that close. You're that close. You know how close Judas got? He kissed the cheek of Jesus with blood on it. He kissed the blood and still died and went to hell with the blood of Jesus on his lips. There's a lot of people going to die with the blood of Jesus on their lips, but not on their heart. They'll sing about it. Some will even preach about it. You think preachers? I believe there's preachers going to go to hell. They'll talk about it. It's on their lips, but it ain't on their heart. Maybe you're real close. Why don't you just come on in? Just come on in. He ain't going to, listen, I promise you when that death angel, them folks that was in there eating that lamb behind were a whole lot happier than the ones that weren't. They were a whole lot happier. Maybe you're in a dark time in your life like the Hebrew children. You're in a dark time. You're in a dark time. He's enough to get you through the dark. The same lamb that got you in is going to get you through. I'll never forget this. I was visiting my grandma, and she had major, severe dementia and Alzheimer's. Didn't know her. She hadn't known anybody's name for years. It was at Thanksgiving. And I've told y'all this, but just bear with me. I like hearing it. And she was the godliest person to this day I've ever met in my life. And I went to the nursing home, I'll never forget, in Oakwood, Georgia. And I went down there to see her. It was just me and her. Now, she loved all of her grandchildren, but let's just be honest, I was her favorite. I mean it. Me and her, there was something we just meshed, you know. And she was my Nanners, and I was her James, and that was the way it was. And I went to see her brother Mike, and I was so upset because I didn't get to be with her when she, you know, she lost her mind when I was in, and I never got to talk to her when she, and that I missed that. And I went over there and I sat down and I'm telling you, for probably 20 or 30 minutes, I tried to tell her who I am. I tried to, and she just stared. And if anybody has a family member that's in that condition, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying. Yeah, I know it's hard, but it was you know what I'm talking about. It was awful. And finally, I got so frustrated. I said, Nanders, could you just tell me when you got saved? Now, you might not believe this, But I was there when I was there when it happened. I heard it with my own ears, and I seen it with my own eyes. She looked up at me, and it was almost like as if the color of her eyes changed. And she said, "Oh, yeah, I remember that." She looked at me like I was the one who was lost my mind. She said, "Oh, I remember that." And my granny began telling me about how she got saved. She said, "I was a 12-year-old girl." She said, "It's a Calvary Baptist church. We went there for a revival, and the preacher preached, the bed is too short, and the covers are too narrow." She said, "I went home that night, and I sat there and pulled on them sheets and tossed and turned and couldn't sleep." She said, "I went the next morning, and he preached on John 3:16, for God so loved the world." I mean, she told me her whole testimony. Now, by now, I'm sitting there bawling my eyes. I thought, you know, it was one of them things I'll never forget. But when she got done, now listen, when she got down there and she said, "Guess what?" I said, "What?" She looked at me and she said, "Guess what?" I said, "What?" She said, "I'm going to make it." She said, "I'm going to make it." And listen to me this morning, I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart, if you've got the blood on the outside and you got the lamb on the inside, you're going to make it. It might get hard. I mean, it's going to get hard. It may get rough. We're going to go through things we wish we didn't have to go through. We're going to have to carry burdens we wish we didn't have to carry. We're going to have to walk some dark and lonely miles. But with the blood on the outside and the lamb on the inside, we can make it. We can make it.